Listen to the voices of our world.
I don't need to stay in this situation of violence or in this situation of oppression. This is not the end for me. There is a way out.
Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Prostitutes and battered women have more in common than you may think. Today we'll visit Sao Paulo, Brazil, where Mary Knoll lay missioner Joanne Blaney will help us speak with two courageous women, Aparecida, who left her abusive husband, and Anna, who earns a living quilting rather than selling her body. For more than 7 years, Aparecida was beaten and threatened by her husband. With the help of Ser Mulher, an organization in São Paulo, Brazil, which helps women understand the cycle of violence, Aparecida managed to secure a court order to remove her abusive husband from their house. Besides trying to rebuild her own self-confidence, Aparecida is facing São Paulo's 20% unemployment rate and her children's emotional problems stemming from witnessing domestic violence. At 16, armed with a fourth-grade education, Aparecida came to São Paulo with her brother in search of work. She got a job cooking and cleaning. Her employers beat her when she expressed a desire to go to school. Later, she got a better job and moved to live with strangers in a squat, which is legal under Brazilian law. Soon after she married her husband, he began to hit her. On a gray day, Aparecida found a friend to watch her sick child and came to speak with Eleanor Ostrinsky about her triumph. Joanne Blaney translates.
Fui viver com ele, aí fiquei 3 anos sem ter filhos, depois eu tive minhas duas princesinhas.
I met my husband and we married, and for 3 years we didn't have any children. And then we have 2 lovely children today. But my husband is and was very violent, and right after we got married, he began to beat me and break everything inside the house, constantly destroying everything. And I only got help when I got to know the program here at Ser Mulher that helped me really rebuild my life.
Usually the hardest thing is to tell someone else what is happening in your life. How did you have the courage to go ahead and tell someone?
É, foi tipo assim, né? Ele não bateu, na verdade, porque eu não deixaria, eu saía correndo.
He was very abusive, and for example, he would come after me with a knife. I would run out to the street screaming. And living in an occupation, everybody already knows what's going on, so people heard all this. But he was consistently abusive and just psychologically with the children, yelling, but he never hit the children.
Tipo assim, ele me ameaçou com a faca e eu tive que sair dentro de casa com as duas crianças.
The last time that he threatened me with a knife, I left with the children and went to live with a friend of mine. And he found us, and he broke into her house, and he threatened us again. He grabbed our youngest daughter and said he was going to leave with her, but we were able to get my daughter back. And with the help of some of the neighbors there, we were able to make him leave. At that time, he said he was going to go to the police station to denounce me. And we went together to the neighborhood police station. And the police officer, instead of focusing on the violence, basically told me that my husband was crazy and he needed psychiatric help. So we returned home. My husband broke the windows, broke the doors to enter again, and everything started up all over. Until finally, with the help of a lawyer here at Ser Mulher, we got a judge to issue an order that my husband could not enter the building where we lived. My husband did not accept this, and he came again to the building, tried breaking in, and some of my neighbors yelled at him, and he left.
So you've made a formal complaint against your husband, and what did the police do?
Aí ele foi afastado de casa, ele não podia entrar dentro de casa, mas ele continuou a dormir lá na porta.
He was never arrested. Even though he didn't enter the house, he continued to sleep every night at our front door. It was very scary. Until he finally found a place to stay in a shelter. And since the end of February, he has not appeared at our building.
So do you still live with this fear, like one day you'll meet him on the street, or one day he'll come back, or do you feel like you have to leave?
Não tenho medo, não.
No, at this moment I don't have fear because my neighbors are protecting us, and my neighbors also beat him a few times, and I think he's afraid to return.
Now, if your neighbors knew all this time, what was the point at which they changed their minds and realized that they need to protect you in some way?
Tipo assim, meus vizinhos, na verdade, eles tinham medo dele também.
Everybody there was afraid of him because of his violence. And when I arrived home with an order from the judge that he had to leave, and they saw the police make him leave, and that's when the change came. But it's very common that no one will say or do anything to help a woman who is suffering from violence inside the house because people have a lot of fear of the aggressor, what he will do to them.
Is this why you've decided to talk to us? Is this why you have decided to talk to other people and tell your story?
É que eu tô disposta e eu quero ajudar também outras pessoas.
Yes, I'm telling my story because I would like to help other people. Many times a person suffering from violence doesn't have any information, doesn't know what to do, and that's why we're here, isn't it? One person to help another so that we can live in peace.
So was this a very long process once you came to ser mulher?
7 anos que eu vivi com ele.
For 7 years, I suffered domestic violence from my husband, and I began coming here to ser mulher 1 year ago. So it's within 1 year that I've been able to get better and heal.
That's amazing. What was the most helpful part of being here in ser mulher?
Na verdade, fica difícil porque todos me ajudaram.
In reality, it's hard to say what one thing helped me the most, but there are 3 things that I can say. And one is the painting course that is helping me, and we're also making blouses and decorating blouses to sell. The second thing was speaking individually with some of the staff here about my particular problem, and then the self-help groups that take place here where we listen to other women and I can tell my story and one person helping each other.
Was there one particular story in the self-help group that you could really, really relate to?
Ajudou. A história daquela menina, Maria Luísa, que também teve problemas com o marido.
There is one woman in our self-help group called Maria G. Lourdes. And I learned a lot from her because she suffered the same kinds of things that I did with her husband. And she also wound up living on the streets with her 3 children. And so I tried to learn from her story, and she helped me a lot to understand what was happening in my own family.
How much trust do you have in the Brazilian local government and the police that they'll enforce these orders?
Eu tenho confiança.
I have confidence in the judge because this judge helped me to get this order, but I don't have any confidence in the police because you go to the police station and all they do, if they do anything, they will just yell at the man and everybody returns home and it gets worse for the woman because the man is angrier because she complained about it.
What would you like to say to other women?
O que eu quero falar para elas é que elas tomam coragem.
I'd like to tell other women that I'd ask them to have the courage to leave the situation where they are suffering domestic violence, being beaten and humiliated constantly, and let them know that every woman has the opportunity to live in peace in her family, but it takes courage to do that.
Later that day, Eleanor Ostrinsky spoke with Mary Nolay missioner Joanne Blaney about the cycle of violence.
Violence normally gets worse. It can start with just some verbal violence, then some physical violence, then death threats, and sexual violence, sometimes against the children as well. So initially, the cycle of violence for a woman is that she can't believe that it happened. And she's embarrassed by it, and a lot of shame. And this would not just be in Brazil. This is a worldwide problem, 1 billion women around the world. And normally the second phase is that the woman tries to do everything to not have the aggressor get angry. So the children have to be quiet. She has to have everything cooked the way he likes it. So in this second cycle, the woman normally is extremely tense, and she many times becomes violent with the children because she wants them to behave and tries to stop any kind of aggression from happening. So she actually begins to believe that she's the cause of the violence. And many times in the last stage, she moves into a sense of isolation. I tried everything to stop this violence from happening. It's not only continuing to happen, but it's getting worse. And in this final stage, it's very hard for her to seek help because she feels like there's no option. This is how my life is. I don't have any schooling. No one's going to hire me. Who will take care of my children? Where will I live? And so she just kind of sinks deeper and deeper, and sometimes into a depression. So it's really important that people go back, even though they didn't get a response the first time. No, come with me. We'll go somewhere where we can help you.
And why do you personally work on these projects?
Well, I don't believe violence is the answer to anything. I believe violence just begets more violence. And I got involved in working specifically with domestic violence because of an experience I had here in Brazil my first year. I worked in a project to urbanize shanty towns. And over the year, I became really good friends with Paulo. Until one day, I was going from door to door to announce a meeting. And as I was close to his house, the door flew open, and his wife and two girls flew out, screaming hysterically, and Paulo appeared with a frying pan with hot oil in it and threw it. I was in such shock to think that he would do that, that he was, I had no sign at all, neither did anyone else, that that kind of violence was taking place in that home. In the meantime, Paulo's wife, who was always extremely quiet and very nervous, came over to me, and I had a long talk with her, and I realized she had been suffering years and years and years of domestic violence. And she brought all these x-rays to show of all the broken bones she had, and it was such a shock to me. And at our next meeting of the women's groups, we started to talk about this whole issue. And a number of the women said, no, you should never get in the middle, because this is how it is. When you get married, this is a part of being married, that the man has the right to do this. And then many of the women began to tell their story. And I began to see how the silence is the worst part. And that's what happens to almost all women of every race, every class, in every country, that unless you break the silence, it's not going to get better.
How do you deal with violence in your life? Email us. Go to www.voicesofourworld.org and click on Contact Us. Or call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARY-KNOLL. You're listening to Voices of Our World.